Pacifico, Bill Henry.
Hey, welcome. Where are we? All right, here we are. Welcome. World famous Phil Henry Show. I was trying to find the El Pacifico. Welcome to our video cast, as well as our broadcast, our radio broadcast tonight. And what I'm referring to is our Phil TV in HD. Suddenly I've lost the ocean. I don't know what happened to it, but Bud, if you can find it.
Yeah, I've gone to look the ocean. What do you mean, look the ocean?
You know what I mean, man. The ocean is gone. I don't know what I'm doing. All right. Anyway, so now I'm in darkness. Excuse me, folks. It's a technical TV kind of a thing that's happening here for whatever reason. What we're going to be doing tonight, there it is. There's the El Pacifico.
Yeah, got the camera outside, man. Well, I'm just pushing the right button.
We got it, okay. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to bring on the line here Bobby Dooley and we're going to have Bobby Dooley and I believe, is that it?
Yeah, Miss Dooley.
Talking about a prayer vigil that she wants to have at Western Estates. There has been a lot of... There's been some trouble here in Southern California with the Anaheim police pitted against people who have been protesting some police shootings that have happened down there. And that was the information that I got from Ms. Dooley, and that's all that I've got. And if we can get her on the line, we can talk with her about this tonight. Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley there at the Western Estates Homeowners Association. And Bobby, how are you tonight?
Doing fine, Phil. We wanted to have this prayer vigil, not really so much for any particular event, just for everything that's involved and that's been happening in the country. The prayer vigil would be all of us getting together and...
No specific event?
Not really, Phil, because we don't want to draw attention to anything other than our faith in the power, really, of God and the power of all of us together praying to God and the power that prayer has. And I was talking with my husband about that. It doesn't have to be anything in particular. We don't have to focus on anything bad. We can focus on the good. And I think that's what is wrong with our country. We always... return to prayer when only something bad has happened.
So that's a good point.
The center is talking about like bad and everything. And we just feel a good thing to be talked about.
And so to that end, we want to just gather together friends, family, and anyone that wants to join us for a prayer vigil that we're going to be having on Friday evening at Western Estates. It will be in our newly renamed, it's going to be a meditation garden, Phil, that was originally part of our cabana and our common area. But we want to use it as a meditation area to meditate on, as I said, those things that are positive, as well as just thinking of the good things. And we were very, very upset, as everyone was, with recent news. But I don't want to focus on that. I want to get the focus back to what we think are good things and what we think are positive things and what we feel, really, Phil, in the end can be uplifting and energizing things.
All right, Bobby and Steve Dooley with us. I can't fault you for that at all, Bobby, when you talk about... We talk about prayer, and we always come to prayer, as you said, as the result of bad things.
Yeah, Phil, it's always as the result of some tragedy or something. Let's not do that. I'm not saying that we shouldn't pray for people who have had unfortunate occurrences in their lives. I'm not saying that we don't pray for things that to get better. But we want to just, you know, rejoice and to remind people as well of the good that we can do with what we have.
Well, my hat's off to you, and there shouldn't ever be any time, you know, I'm not a traditional Christian.
Well, it really doesn't have anything to do with that. Whatever your creed,
right?
Whatever your creed, whatever your faith, so long as it is, it's geared toward the building of good things. That's what we really feel is important.
All right, Bobby and Steve Dooley with us. Our number is 877-876-7445, 877-876 Phil, and on the line with us this evening is not only Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley from the Western States Homeowners Association. We got Vernon Dozier from Belmar Academy, which is a private school, and they'll be gearing up for classes in another month or so. But we're still in the middle of summer, so I don't want to get anybody angry. Vernon, how are you doing?
Phil, I was just going to remind you, I don't want to get any of my students angry at me, but I'm doing fine. I was listening to Ms. Dooley, and I thought that... I thought if I heard you correctly, Ms. Dooley, you're saying that we should pray, and I agree with you that we should pray for those things, for positive things to happen.
We really feel that way, and I'm hopeful that you are going to join us in that.
You were over at the house today.
Well, that's true. I was over at your house today.
You had a disagreement with my wife, and I felt bad about it.
You felt more than bad about it, Mr. Dooley. You got very angry at me.
But you agreed that you were not going to that we're not going to carry that over into our public campaign.
You were over at the Dooley's, Vernon?
Yes, I was, and the reason I was over there is because we are doing a fundraiser for our school, and we have a series of coffees. We invite parents or prospective parents, and the Dooley's, while they're students, their young people go to a different high school. The Dooley's have. Were benefactors of us last year. I believe you contributed.
We gave $5,000.
I had come over.
I better not say.
No, go ahead. I don't care.
Well, you didn't. You wanted more.
Yes, sir. I did want more because I felt that you were capable of giving more. And I will tell you right now, I'm disappointed in the tenor of this.
All right, hold on for a minute because I don't know what's going on here.
Let me tell you what's going on.
Would you mind?
Not at all. Go ahead.
Dean does a series of coffees for Belmar Academy.
Now, when you say a series of coffees...
Well, they're gatherings of parents who will have coffee, and they serve coffee, and they serve some kind of a dessert. And we listen to presentations.
On behalf of the school?
Yeah, on behalf of the school. Ben Belmar did it and tried to put a gun to my ribs.
I didn't put a gun to your ribs, sir. I did not put a gun to your ribs, and I'm very, very, to say that. And
why are you here? I thought you were here to support us.
Well, I am here to support you, but I was hoping that you would be more forthcoming, Mr. Andrew. Ms. Dooley, as you know, is going to be releasing some kind of an album or record.
That has nothing to do with anything.
Why do you bring that up?
Because you mentioned that you were the prayer that you're going to have is to somehow support this.
No, I did not. Can I say something, Mr. Henry?
Go ahead.
First of all, I think it's so wrong of you to come on this program and characterize what we're doing with our prayer.
Didn't you say you had an album?
My wife's going to have, yes.
Sir, I'm not talking to you.
What are you talking to me? You're talking to me.
No, I'm not talking to you.
I know you're not talking to me, but I'm... You're not talking to me, but I... But you are, you know.
Steve, let me do it, please. All right?
Are you talking to me?
I really got to talk to one.
Steve, let me do it, because you're really... You're really making us look bad.
Keep talking to me.
Steve, let me do it. You're making us look bad.
Allow your wife, Mr. Dooley.
I said that we're going to pray for positive things, that we want to have a prayer vigil, and that I would sing at the end of it, and that we would have, if people were interested, we would have a sample copy of my new album. You are turning that into something ugly, and I don't know why.
I'm not turning anything into anything ugly, Mr. Henry. Ms. Dooley, when she first talked to us about this prayer, said that it would be just a prayer for the pot, just a nice positive, for people to be positive. And I said, I'm with that. And now she's telling me that she's got, but then she said that she had this album she wanted to sell. And I said, well, I don't want to be a part of that. She said, well, I'm not going to do it at the prayer vigil. But now, when I heard her talking about
it, if you just don't know my wife,
is she going to shut up?
Steve, would you shut your mouth?
And now you're talking about having a prayer vigil so you can sell your record. And I find that to be specious. I find that to, you know.
What does that mean?
I find that to, I don't know if I'm going to have to.
Mr. Dooley, either you get on another line or something, or you have to be quiet.
No, I think when I came on your program to talk about prayer and returning to prayer, I didn't know that someone was going to come on this program and attempt to subvert that.
I'm not, ma'am, subverting anything. I'm simply trying to say to the people.
That's exactly what you're doing.
All right, hold on, because we do have to take a break and we're running late. Bobby and Steve Dooley, Vernon Dozier with us, and a prayer vigil that focuses on the positive. There's been so much negative. Now, I don't know what Mr. Dozier's talking about here.
She's got a record coming out.
She has a record coming out, an album.
Yeah, Miley Sanders got a record album coming out, and Steve, they're going to pray for the record album, so I don't think that's...
I didn't hear anybody say they're praying for a record album. Although he's got some problem that he says she's going to be doing autographs or something. We'll be right back with more. You know, there are certain times when certain things are exploitable. Let's put it that way. Is this one of those times? 877-876-7445. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And Ms. Dooley, you wanted to make a statement before we go on, and I promised her that she could. Mr. Dozier, go ahead.
So I want to be very clear to your audience that I am in no way attempting to exploit any situation. I'm simply saying that prayer is a very positive influence on our lives. And I think that Mr. Dozier's comments have been made without really knowing the facts.
And are you going to...
And I'd like to finish what I'm saying, please.
Bobby, you're going to allow me to make my lady.
Sir, I would be happy to allow your wife to finish speaking. I can't hear you, sir.
Mr. Dooley, you need to get on another phone.
Oh, go on the extension, Steve.
I want to get a talk to my wife.
Yeah, go on the extension.
I think that if you're going to... You're talking to my...
Hold on. Whoa. You're too loud. And let me just... One person at a time.
Okay.
Let me do it, Steve. I feel, Phil, that I have been terribly misused in the first few minutes of your program. Yes, I have a album coming out. Yes, we're going to sell it. And yes, I was going to bring some sample copies to the prayer vigil. That does not constitute an enormous commercial undertaking.
May I ask you something?
No, I still...
Well, Ms. Dooley...
No, I'm not finished yet, please. That does not constitute a commercial undertaking. That is simply me selling one of my recordings, and I'm not really selling it. There are sample copies that you can listen to there after the prayer vigil. And one of the reasons, Phil... Go ahead, Steve.
Now, she's got songs on there that are good.
My husband's a little emotional. The songs will help you. They help you.
May I ask you something?
Excuse me, but I'm not finished yet.
All right, Ms. Dooley, at some point, you need to let him talk.
Yes, I will, sir. I will, but please. Because I have been very unfairly characterized. Finally, my final point. I am a mother. I'm a wife. I have devoted my life to the Western States Homeowners Association, our landscaping committee, our architectural committee. I have been on our four seasonal festivals, the Wintertacular, our Summertacular, and so forth. I am also the president of our Homeowners Association. I am one of only three qualified women in our Western States Women's Defense League, where we teach the women here at Western States martial arts. I am a qualified black belt. All right? Mr. Henry?
Yeah, okay.
That doesn't impress me, if I could say. And I'm not done yet.
Okay, I'm going to have to insist that Mr. Dozier be allowed to speak.
Well, I think your audience is going to turn on you. I'm a woman. And
may I say something, Mr. Henry?
Go ahead, sir.
Hold on for just a minute. I have been very badly...
I'd like to say something, Ms. Dooley, and if you just, if you have the courage of your conviction, you'll let me speak. You said at the meeting we had today that you had this album that you had produced and that you had written or what have you, and that's fine. And you made the statement to me that you were going to get your money back, even if it's... And I can't use the phrase you used. And
I never said anything that you can't use on the radio.
All right. Do you want me to say it?
Okay, we had to dump that. Did you say that?
No, I did not.
You are... Ma'am, you said if it... Every... In the Congo.
We had to edit out those words. I'm not going to have that on the air. Do you understand?
Well, Mr. I'm sorry, sir.
That's fine. But if... I can tell my audience it was extremely vulgar.
I never, ever said any such thing. I didn't say it's going to short any... Cannibal in the Congo.
Well, can we dump that, bud?
It's too late.
Well, I'm sorry, but if I said that, it was in no sense racist or anything. I meant...
Did you say if it hair lips every...
What are you talking about?
Mr. Henry, this woman today was in this... I was talking to her at this coffee. She said, I'm going to sell that album. And she used the Congo... line. You don't want me to use that. She said, even if it hair lips everyone on Bear Creek, I think was the term. Was that it?
That was a line that Steve's family uses a lot. It's a traditional American phrase.
It is a vulgar, crude, insulting, arcane, idiotic thing to say. Now,
I said it in the privacy of my own home, thank you. You know, boy, you really have got a pair on, between the two of you, Mr. Henry, you and Mr. Dozier. You don't have two pairs. You guys... You hair-lipped everyone on Bear Creek, not me.
Okay, how long am I going to have to hear this, all right? You know that there's parents out there with children that have been born with a cleft palate? Do you understand that that is an offensive thing to say?
Well, I never knew that I was coming on a program with someone as you. And
we've had to dump Ms. Dooley. We've had to dump out of...
What do you mean, dump? What does that mean?
What are you trying to say?
That's a radio term.
I'll explain it. It's a radio term for we had to edit. Now, I'm going to tell you this, and if I have to yell at you, I'm sorry. I'm going to get everybody to just get organized a little bit here. I don't want this cross-talking, arguing, and I don't want any of these offensive phrases.
If you're talking... Mr. Henry,
I don't want to hear it.
When I said I'm going to sell that record, even if it hair lips everyone on Bear Creek...
See, you just said it again. Now, in the future, I'm going to have Bud dump that. I'm going to have him dump it out, all right, Bud?
What?
Are you listening to the show? I want you to dump what she just said.
I'm sorry.
Say it again.
If it hair...
I mean, don't say it.
On Bear Creek.
Oh, yeah, that one.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you told her not to say it, didn't you? Go ahead and say it.
What I meant was, dump it out.
Can I sing the song, or...
You're going to sing what? No, I don't want you singing any song. Are you promoting an album at this prayer vigil?
No, I am not.
That is an absolute lie. That is an...
No, you know something,
you're... So about what? Didn't matter.
Hey, old Dooley, you know, I've been listening to you. You've been screaming at me since 1 o'clock this afternoon, and I took a dinner break. It's basically been you, Dooley, in my ear since 1 o'clock this afternoon. I had a dinner break, and ever since then, it's been you in my ear.
Not to do that.
Yes, you did. Did you call me up and start in on me right after I got done?
You said that about your tater tots.
What?
You said of the tater tots.
I said that I was having... You asked me what I was having for dinner. I said tater tots.
Yeah, and I called right after I'm done.
I said I was going to be done with my tater tots. I didn't say I was going to be... God almighty, can you believe this?
I don't understand.
He called me. I said I'm eating tater tots. He said, when are you going to be done with those? I said, about a minute. He calls me in a minute. That doesn't mean I'm done with my dinner, you dumbass.
Who are you calling a dumbass?
All right, hold on. 877-87... Is this woman going to sing, too?
Yeah, keep dead trying to sing. Never been to me.
I've never what?
You have not been to Bimini. Not to Bimini.
Not to Bimini? What the hell is this off of her album?
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back with Bobby Dooley and Vernon Dozier and more here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Not to Bimini. I don't know that song.
Yeah, I've never been to Bimini. Get it? Yeah, I've never been on a Bimini. I never went to Bimini.
What?
Phil Henry.
Welcome back. It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And we have on the line with us Bobby and Steve Dooley, along with Vernon Dozier. I'm going to let Mr. Dozier have his say, because I do not believe, Ms. Dooley, that he was given a fair chance.
Phil, I just think it's very unfair.
I don't know what you mean. The man has not had an opportunity to really say his piece.
Well, first of all, my understanding was...
Mr. Henry, I understand you got my wife on it.
Sir, you're way too loud. Back him off, bud.
Yeah,
you got my wife on the thing. Yeah.
All right, you know.
Why are you censoring my husband?
Because the phone he's on is too loud.
The phone that he's on the same phones that we have the same phone in the cabana that I'm on right now in the kitchen. All right.
Well, I don't know, ma'am.
We just had phones put in our cabana, which is our pool house, okay? Because we just had a pool house put in?
Yeah, that's fine.
Mr. Henry, I think she wants you to be impressed with her pool house.
No, I do not, little man.
Excuse me, who are you calling little man? Boy.
You know, I think that is insulting.
Well, Ms. Dooley, you're all, we have a pool house.
I didn't go, we have a pool house, they have a pool. I didn't say that. We have a pool house, and I asked you to acknowledge the fact.
Yeah, but can I say something, Mr. Henry, because I know I was too loud the last time.
You're going to have to get new phones in the pool house. You may have a new pool house, you know.
Well, that is really...
All right, let's go to a phone call here. 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Jeff in Temple City on the Phil Henry Show. Jeff, go ahead.
Bill, we were listening on your program here, and... the problem that you're having there, it sounds to me like you just don't have equalized enough line on a phone, you know?
I got equalized. What are you talking about?
Who's that?
Bud Dickman. What are you asking, sir?
The reason why that gentleman's too loud is because you don't have an equalized line on it, you know?
I don't know.
That's finished.
What was that?
Is that you, Mr. Dooley?
Okay,
please have him get off that extension.
You know, I'll tell you something, Mr. Henry. I have not, and I'm being very patient here.
Oh, you're being very patient. I've heard my husband referred to as someone who doesn't know how to use a phone. I used a very simple American expression.
No, it may be an American expression. I don't want that expression used. All right?
Well, Mr. Henry, I just want to say one thing about hair, lip, and everybody on Bear Creek. What?
I don't want the freight, bud. Dump it, will
you? Oh, you want? I thought you only wanted anything referring to.
You still like anything saying about a Negro or a Congo man or something like that?
You know something? You guys are so stupid. This may be the night that I fire both of you. Do you know that?
Oh my God, man! I'm just trying to do what you asked us to do.
Don't you yell at me? I'm telling you, when you hear them say the phrase that I don't want to say.
The phrase, Mr. Henry...
Don't say it!
Okay.
Oh, my God. I cannot believe that I live in America, in a country where the freedoms of speech and everything that we have was fought for and fought and died for, too, by the, the Revolutionary War and all of them, and the speech that we're free to have.
Yeah. But free...
Mr. Henry, I'm going to say something now, and then I'll hang up. If Ms. Dooley doesn't want me to say anything...
No, sir, do not hang up. Ms. Dooley, you're going to let him speak.
I'm just not used to being spoken to this way. Now, I had workmen here up until 5 o'clock putting the finishing touches on a cabana, yes, a cabana that we have dearly wanted for many years. and they put the final coat of paint on our French doors out there. My husband went out to show off.
Mr. Henry, Ms. Dooley is putting on an act here. She's not crying.
Well, if you're crying, Ms. Dooley, are you crying over the fact that we said your phone system sucks?
That's not what you said. You said that it wasn't an equalizer.
No, Mr. Henry, I'm still here.
Go ahead.
Ma'am, that's not a comment on you as being a bad person. I mean, just saying the phone line's not equalized.
Well, you're talking about equalization or something. That's got nothing to do with race.
Oh, boy.
I'm asking a question, and I don't believe I'm speaking with you.
Yes, you are speaking with me, and I said, oh, boy. Now, Mr. Dozier, go ahead.
Thank you, Phil. When I was at the Dooley's house today, I heard Ms. Dooley say we're having a prayer vigil, and I will have my new album available if people want to see it or buy it or what have you. She didn't. Ms. Dooley, I'm not saying that you oversold it. You didn't stand up there in a meeting and start jumping up and down and saying, boy, they better,
What do you mean by...
Hold on, I'll say it. But when you said the phrase that I referred to, I thought that was very glaring. You were going to have a prayer vigil just to say thank you, God, for the good things we have, and I was all in favor of that. And I wanted to go back to the school. I was going to tell Father Recorders and some of the members of the board. But when I heard you saying, I'm going to sell this out, you wait, this album's going to go... You say you made a joke or something?
I was not making a joke. No, I was not making a joke. Did you find it funny?
Ma'am, you said your album's going to go platinum or you'd hair-lip everybody on Bear Creek.
Okay, there we go again.
I'm sorry, sir, but she did say that.
I said the album is going to go platinum or everyone on Bear Creek would be hair-lipped. I didn't say I'm going to do it. What? You know, you don't hear too good, do you?
But my wife...
Get him out of that cabana, please.
Who are you speaking to?
Nobody. Nobody.
You better not be talking to me.
No, ma'am. No.
Yeah, boy, you lost it.
Take it easy. Would you please get him out of that cabana?
You're sure you're not talking to me?
No, ma'am, I was not talking to you.
Because I still want to do Hey Lady.
Yeah, we want to hear you do Hey Lady.
Steve, let me get on the intercom. Steve Dooley, come in from the cabana area. Come in from the cabana area or contact me on intercom 4. Intercom 4 is near the pool equipment, Steve. Near the pool equipment, honey. He's walking over. It's near the pool equipment, honey. Steve, you're only 10 feet from the back door. Just come in the back door.
How is that good?
He wants to use the... What do you want?
Will you just forget it? All right.
I'll buy a seal right back.
What is so funny?
Is that your intercom 4?
Yeah, there you go, Mr. Rennie. This woman is so intent.
I'm being spoken of as if I'm the third person. As if I'm a third person.
Yeah, you're a third person.
A third person?
That's what the way they say it in New York.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right, you have a song you want
to
sing?
Hey, am I going to get to be able to say the things that I'm going to get to be able... Do I get to say what I want to say? I have never in my life... I've been on millions of television and radio programs. I even did color commentary for the Santa Fe League and the CIF in the Southern Section for 2 straight seasons when it looked like... Well, that was when we were put on probation, and it had nothing whatsoever to do with this Penn State stuff. I can tell you that right now. That is an absolute disgrace. And I will tell you what I think is a disgrace about that.
Hold on for a minute, Vernon, because we're going to be talking to you about that next hour.
Oh, so you're going to be on for a whole other hour.
Right, but I still wanted to...
We wanted to hear him out on this. Sing your song, please.
That is really...
Sing your song, please. Please sing your song.
Whatever.
Hey, lady.
You lady. Cursing at your life. I love this song. So can I set this up? Go ahead. Bud Dickman, please. Thank you. Because my husband's still out. Hold on. Steve Dooley.
Are you talking to him in your own yard?
Yes. I'm talking to him on our intercom.
Well, didn't you say is?
I'm right here.
Oh, you came in the house. No, no. Phil, this song is a song that speaks to me. I know a lot of women have a lot of songs that they love that speak to them. This song speaks to me. I really believe this song speaks to me so directly. and is so personal to me. It's very, very difficult for me to believe that any other woman could possibly identify with this song the way I do. And I know that that sounds stuck up. And I know it sounds like I'm all stuck up and I'm all, ooh, that I think I'm so special. But I'm not stuck up. I'm not stuck up.
You really are, Mr. Henry.
Yes, ma'am. You're not stuck up.
Who's that?
Mr. Dozier.
You're going to be on for a whole hour. I just heard from Mr. Henry. So the two of you performed a subterfuge on me.
Is that like sex?
No, it's not sex.
That like sex. Did you hear what that dumbass... That...
Hey!
All right, both of you guys break it up. Sing your song, Ms. Dooley, please.
This is a song... I'm very emotional. I am going to sing speak because that's really my... That's my... My, everybody knows me for that, on how I do it. This is from my forthcoming album, A Woman.
Hey, lady. You.
Yes, you, lady.
Cursing at your life.
Cursing at your life.
You're a discontented,
mother, and, yes, a wretched looking wife.
I've no doubt
you dream about the things that you can't really share.
But I wish,
someone had shown me the pictures that I'm about to show to you. Here's where I sing, Phil. Been to Georgia, California, and everywhere I go, they took the hand of a picture.
What is wrong?
I'm sorry, I'm just very emotional.
All right, we'll be right back. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445 is world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back to the program, and we are with Bobby and Steve Dooley. We also have on the line with us Vernon Dozier from Belmar Academy. Margaret Gray has called in, Ms. Dooley. I understand your position.
She's called in to steal my thunder.
But there isn't any thunder to steal here because I haven't gotten to the bottom of this, and I'm going to get to the bottom of this.
What do you want to get to the bottom of?
What I want to get to the bottom of is the following, the answer to the following question. This prayer vigil you're having, is it in order for you to sell albums? What is the answer to that?
Bullshit.
Would you get that guy off the phone, please? No, I'm talking to Bud. Bud?
Bud!
What line is he on?
He's on the same line.
Oh, there, it's an extension, yeah.
I'll try. Steve Dooley. Steve.
What are you doing?
I'm on the intercom system that we just had put in. You don't understand, Mr. Henry. We've had a $50,000 $50,000 worth of phones and intercoms and...
That's what the lady's been spending her money on. I'm going to tell you this. I am absolutely disgusted and sickened to my stomach to the point where I want to lose... I want to vomit. When I hear this woman talking about wanting to have a prayer vigil, and in point of fact, what she's trying to do is sell her the album, which, by the way, Ms. Dooley, and I'm sorry to have to say this to you, but I think somebody needs to. The name of your album, A Woman. What?
That's right.
Hold on, Steve. I've got it. Steve, wherever you are, get off of the Cabana phone. Get off of it. Let me go on the intercom. Steve Dooley, get off of the Cabana phone. Get off of the Cabana phone. You know, it's called A Woman. Guess why?
Let's see. Because you are a woman.
Yes, exactly. What's wrong with that?
It's just it doesn't say anything. It doesn't mean anything.
Well, maybe you ought to try being a woman. Which, you know, you'd have to have a sex change operation, I guess. And, I don't know, maybe that suits your style.
Yeah, maybe it suits my style. So what do you call me now? You call me... I came on this program to try to talk some sense.
Well, I'll tell you this, and here is my view of this, and I can't tell anybody how to think, and I can't tell my audience how to think. But if you are having a prayer vigil, Ms. Dooley, whether you mean well or not, and you are selling albums...
I said, for the 900th time, I'm not selling albums.
You are selling. You said you're selling downloads or something.
I did not use that term you did. I will not use that term you did.
Okay.
If you don't get that man off...
That's right. Steve Dooley, get off the... He's coming to the house now. Wipe your feet. All right. I said I'm not using the word download. So if we're not selling the album.
All right, let me use the word download. Are you selling downloads?
Yes.
Well, that's all right.
Okay, but you're still selling something.
I'm not selling the physical property, Mr. Hendry. These are computer downloads of my songs. Now, may I continue, please?
Go ahead. What's the name of the song?
It's called I've never been to Bimini, I think.
I've never been to me.
Hold on for a minute. Mr. Hendry, what do you mind?
The name of the song is I've Never Been to Me.
You're absolutely certain of that?
Yeah, I'm pretty. It's not I've Never Been to Bimini.
That's what I thought it was. That's what I told her.
Yeah, we told her that.
Well, then the two idiots that work for you are wrong.
Yes, maybe the two idiots that work for me are wrong, Ms. Dooley, but if you took the time to record the song, I thought maybe you knew the name of the song.
Well, I don't.
Okay.
Thank you. May I sing it now?
Yes, please do.
Okay.
Hey, lady.
Hold on. I've just got to clear my throat. Steve, get me some of that gargle.
Okay.
The gargle that Dr. Brunford gave me. Get me the gargle.
About Listerine?
No, not Listerine. Give me the medicated gargle that Dr. Brunford made. Thank you. Ah, that's much better.
Yeah.
This is a song called... I think it's called I've Never Been to Bimini. Mr. Hendry said it's I've Never Been to Me.
You lady.
Cursing at your life.
I've no doubt you dream about.
Mr. Hendry, my voice is not my friend today.
No, I would not say that it is.
Let me just try one more time. Bimini, happy now. No, it's not working. Let's get Margaret on here.
All right, Margaret Gray is with us from Santa Monica, California.
And you don't have to sound so happy about it either.
Well, everybody has their good and their bad days.
Let me try one more time.
Let the man from a teaser, man.
No, it's not working. Okay, go ahead, Margaret. Well, thank you very much, dear. I'm sorry you're having a hard time with your voice. It's happened. Can we turn that off, please, for God? So I can get this. All right. I know that your voice is not working, Bobby. I understand that. I will say at this time, though, I sang professionally, and I really got to tell you, I don't think you got it. And so what do you think this is? You think it's American Idol?
My wife,
Steve, hold on. Steve, get your ass off that phone, or I'll come over and geld you like you're a thoroughbred. Like you're a horse that doesn't need it anymore. I'll geld you. I'll tie you to a tree and geld you alive. Go ahead. Thank you. I'm sorry you don't agree with me, Bobby, but your voice is not professionally trained. Mine is. 1, 2, and a 1, 2, 3, and a 1, 2, 1, 2, 2, 3. Dickman, you stupid ass, said 1, 2, 1, 2, there. Uh-huh.
Hey, lady.
All right, this is a freak show. Get this stuff out of here before I flip.
Oh, just hung up on 1, 2, 3.
Oh, yeah, no, Dr. Pepper.
Who's Dr. Pepper?
That's our nickname for Mr. Dugan or Dozier.
Yeah, Mr. Dugan or Dozier, it's Dozier. You don't have to call him Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, we can't remember his name.
We hung up on a lot of people, you're right.
No, wait, you hung up on Mr. Dooley, you hung up on Mrs. Dooley, you hung up on Miss Gray, you hung up on Vernon Dugan. You hung up on
Vernon Dolan.
Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, Dr. Pepper.
You hung up on me? Well, you didn't hang up on me.
Okay, no, I hung up on Ms. Dooley. I hung up on Ms. Gray. I hung up on Mr. Dooley. I hung up on Mr. Dugan or Dogan or whatever the hell his name is, Dr. Pepper.
Man, you're flipping your lid.
Yes, I'm flipping my lid. Maybe that ought to be my theme song, you know what I'm saying? Maybe that ought to be a song that I sing for myself, even though it's about a lady or going to Bimini or whatever the hell it's about.
Hey, lady. At your life. You're a discontented mother.
So I don't know. I think I'm cursed by Dugan.
I think you are too. All right, coming up, Vernon Dozier will be returning with us as we talk about something we haven't talked about in a while, and it was in the news this weekend, and it was huge, and you know what I mean. It's Penn State and the fallout from Penn State. Vernon Dozier is himself a football coach, understands the lay of the land, and we're going to talk with him about that and more when we come back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Reminder that our podcast, episode 21, is out and about there. Go download it at iTunes. Go download it at our website. Go download it, man. Download hell out of it. The free Phil Henry podcast.
Phil Henry.
Welcome back, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. In a moment, we will have Vernon Dozier back on the air with us to talk about the aftermath of the NC2A basically just tearing the throat right out of Penn State. And I don't think there's too many people shedding tears for Penn State these days. It's unfortunate. It sucks. And, yeah, there's a lot of students that are going down for the count, you know, students that have nothing to do with it. But I have some very strong feelings about it. We'll talk with Vernon. Want to remind you that we're online at philhenryshow.com. When I say that, you can get thousands of hours of archived radio shows going back over a decade of the record-breaking, world-famous, legendary Phil Henry Show. I say that with all humility, but I do say it. You get a backstage pass to our website, and it's worth it, Jack. We have thousands of hours of media, whether it is video, whether it is audio. We even got animated stuff on there. And all of it going back, as I say, many, many years. We have a video archive, a 5-day archive of our current show. We also have 1 year's worth of our Saturday night shows on video. And we are going to be expanding that video archive so that every single show at some point will be online at philhenryshow.com. Don't forget, you can access our free Phil Henry podcast. That is a 3-day-a-week podcast that you can get by way of the banner on our homepage. PhilHenryShow.com. It is the single greatest value in entertainment history. I'm not kidding. We really think that. We say it. People think we're joking. Okay, that's fine. But we really mean it.
Yes, we do.
All right. 877-876-7445. Do we have any other...
You have a giveaway like sometime...
I forgot. Thanks, Robert. Bobby Dooley, the best of Bobby Dooley. I should have said it while she was online here, but I forget it. You know, she was going out of her mind. She's got her music album out. We are going to be featuring the best of Bobby Dooley in August as our new download, a new best of download, to join the best of Ted Bell. So we're gradually putting together these downloads for you guys to access great bits from different guests, different characters that we've had on the show. Okay, as we were talking last hour to Vernon Dozier, and we were saying we're going to have you back on here, Vernon, to talk with us. And there's Vernon, and I know you guys are doing a little late training.
Oh well, no, right now, Phil, I'm in the we're in our football plant at a high school. Basically, what that means is the locker room, and we've got a lot of the kids come in July and do some weights, August to begin. In earnest, training for the new season.
How many years you've been coaching there?
Phil, I'm going to be starting my 23rd year here this season.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And it's been a gratifying run. I've enjoyed every minute of it. We've had some great success. We've got some damn good football team. Excuse my language. We've had great support from our administration, great support from our parents, and very fine young men that I've been very proud to be associated with. So all in all, a great time.
And when you see something like what happened, even though you're at the high school level, did you coach college?
I did. Yes, I did coach college 3 years at Tuffany. and coached another 2 years at Malvern, which is a small college in Indiana.
And you coached pro?
I did, Phil, in the old USFL.
What team?
I was with the Baltimore Stars, and I worked under Jim Mora there for 2 years. We had a championship team in Baltimore. They had a championship, and I wasn't with them in Philadelphia.
And did you ever play any professional football?
No, I did not. I played, as I say, I played a quarterback at Malvern, and I played defensive back, but never played at the professional level, although I did go to a couple of camps.
And those are like free agent camps, huh?
Yeah.
Well, you've been a great coach, and
thank you.
And but I want to, when you see this, this that's going on at Penn State, what do you think?
Well, I have mixed feelings about it. I mean, Jerry Sandusky, I think you can take him, and I don't care what you do with him. If he was a coach of mine, I don't think I should say, but I will. If he was a coach of mine, I would have taken a few minutes of my own with him. If he brought disgrace to our program the way he did to that program, I would definitely have a meeting with him, and it wouldn't be a conversation either. I mean, I know that's a bad thing to say, Phil, but
well, it's understandable.
Look at this guy Sandusky. What he did, he brought an absolute disgrace onto that school, and the other thing that he did that I really resent is he drove the legend of Joe Paterno right straight into the toilet.
That's an interesting. See, this is what I want to talk to you about. You know.
Well, yeah, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say that Paterno deserved it. And boy, I got to tell you something. If anybody says to me, I know what you mean by it, Phil. But just to say the words Joe Paterno deserved it, it causes a physical reaction in me, like I can't breathe, like every muscle is constricted because I want to. I'm going to give you a very honest appraisal, Phil. When I heard the other night about Joe Paterno losing all of his wins, I got sick in a toilet.
Well, let me. Now, I'm sorry to hear that, but let's get people.
You understand what I'm saying?
No, I absolutely do understand. Let's get people up to speed on what happened. They lost all kind. You know, no bowl eligibility. They lost all kinds of scholarships. They lost every win from the years 1998, I believe, until the 2011 season.
Yeah, and that means that Coach Paterno is no longer the winningest coach in football. And to rob a man, you know, they basically, that's called grave robbing. That's what they did. They robbed him. They grave robbed Joe Paterno. They reached into his coffin and they took all those wins. Now, I know literally they didn't grave rob him, but that's how it feels to me. It feels to me as if the NC2A and all of their hypocrisy.
Why do you call them hypocrites?
Phil, I find it very hard to believe that this hasn't happened at another school, and the NC2A saw Penn State as.
You believe that.
Well, hold on. Well.
You believe this has happened at other schools?
Well, I mean, think about it. I mean, what are the odds? It must have happened somewhere else. There's got to. Are you telling me that Jerry Sandusky is the only? I just don't believe it. I just don't believe it.
So if it's happened at other schools, the NC2A has covered it up.
I believe so because look, they went after Penn State. Why? Because they're miserable. Because the NC2A, they hate themselves. The fact that there's no, they're all little men. They're all little men, and they hate their own guts. And they look at a guy like Paterno, who's bigger than life, who is football, not just in Pennsylvania, but in probably a 6-7 state area. He means a lot nationally. And the NC2A are all these little tiny men who hate themselves, and all they want to do is pull down a great man. And
all right, Vernon, I want to ask you something here, though, okay?
All right, go ahead.
This guy, Joe Paterno, according to a report by the not the FBI, but a retired FBI director.
A retired FBI director.
All right, but the man is still an accomplished law enforcement officer. He was a cop.
All right, he was a cop. Does that make him a genius? If anything, in my book, if you call a guy a cop, that sends him the opposite direction. Don't you agree?
No.
What's that? You said no?
I said no, yeah.
Oh, boy, that blows me away.
Why? What are you...
But you're telling me the cop... Name a cop that... Every cop I've ever known has been a dumb, stupid flatfoot. A dumb cop. And you're trying to tell...
Well, I don't know what your experiences are with cops, but cops are probably the most underrated people. I'll give you that.
Underrated. When have you ever known a cop to know how to do anything other than answer a dog whistle and go running off and, you know, shut down a fire hydrant? And
boy, what? You got a bad attitude toward cops.
No, I do not. I love cops. I think what they're necessary. My father was a police officer, and I love my father dearly. I love my father dearly. My mother's the one that I had a problem with, don't we all? Because it was my mother who would drop me off at school, and I told you the story, and I don't want to go into it now because we're on the national, you know, on the national TV or radio or whatever we're doing here.
It's a radio show.
All right, forgive me. But, the cop, when have you ever known a cop to be anything other than some dumb, stupid cop?
And boy, you really sound like you don't like cops.
What did I just get done telling you?
Yeah, I know what you're telling me, but you sound like you don't like cops, okay?
Well, I'm just telling you, Phil, if you get a report from this guy Free, who's a cop, right?
Well, he's an FBI director, and I imagine his law enforcement experience goes back to some police work, yeah.
Oh, okay, well, that's some police work, that's great. Now, this cop does a report, and what does he decide to do with his report? Take one of the biggest names in the history of American football and rub the face of a corpse in that guy's own, I'm sorry, in his own waste.
And boy, you know, your hatred of police.
I don't, Mr. Henry, what did I just get done telling you?
You can tell me that you don't hate cops. What you just said there.
What did I say? I said,
you know.
I said Louis Free took the corpse of Joe Paterno and rubbed the face of it in his own waste.
That is a hateful thing to say, man.
Mr. Henry, it's an accurate statement. It's not a hateful thing.
It is a very hateful thing to say. It's a very hateful thing to... You hate cops. Say it. Because that's what I'm hearing here.
No, I will not say it.
Well, that's what I'm hearing here, Vernon, and I believe that your opinion is colored by that.
No, my opinion is informed by that, Mr. Henry. That's what you're missing. My opinion is informed by that. I love the police. They do a great job. My father is my father's dead. But I like to think that he still is a cop someplace. I think he's God's cop right now. And my father used to joke about it. He said, you know, when I die, son, I'm going to be God's own cop. And he would stand there, and he'd have his thumb stuck into his utility belt, get ready to go off to work. And he says, son, I just remember this, because my mother would drop me off in the morning, and she'd kiss me on the lips. I think I told you about that.
Yeah.
And my father would say to me, son, I know what's about to happen to you. I know your mother's getting ready to take you to school, and I know what's going to happen at the end of that drive to school. But just remember that when I die, I'm going to be God's own cop. And I take solace in that. And
I don't know what that means. I don't mean any disrespect to your father.
You don't know what that means?
No. What does that mean?
It means my father is going to be in heaven when my mother arrives, and he's going to be God's own cop.
Okay.
You've heard of Rodney King. I guess you've heard of Rodney King. You know, I don't know. These days, you talk show hosts, some of you guys are pretty stupid.
I'm not stupid. I've heard of Rodney King.
Okay. Now, take Rodney King out of there and put my mother there. And my father is leading a battalion of angel cops, or angel, I don't know if they're, but they're, and they're working on my mother the way they worked on Rodney King, only it's in heaven, and God is rolling the video and is not going to be giving it to no Channel 5. And it's going to be different in heaven.
No, I get the idea what you're talking about. God will approve of your father, God's own cop, beating your mother up like Rodney King got beat.
Yes.
All right. All right. So Joe Paterno, in the mind of Vernon Dozier, has been badly, badly served. His legend, his memory, his name, badly served by the NC2A. He has been basically scapegoated. And we're going to talk more with Vernon Dozier about this, the first person that I've heard, sports world or otherwise, to say these things. 877, of any prominence, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
This is the
world-famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show. Vernon Dozier with us at Belmar Academy, a private high school where he is the head football coach as we talk about Joe Paterno and the legacy, which now it ain't good, you know. They have stripped away these wins. They have no bowl eligibility. There is no there are no scholarships. There will be no league play, basically. No one's going to give a crap about their, season because they ain't going anyplace with their season. They're going to lose a lot of players because without the bowl eligibility, without any real national competition, the quality players that they do have been given the right by the NC2A, which ordinarily they wouldn't have been given the right to walk, to sign with another program. When I say sign with another program, you know, to basically agree to go to school and attend another football program. So Penn State is done.
Yeah, and they're done. And I think, again, Joe Paterno, see, a lot of people don't know who Joe Paterno is, and so they sit back and they watch this man's name get just drugged through the mud. And
Hold on, Vernon, because, you're not being fair here to the facts, I don't think.
I'm not, huh?
No, you're not. Number one, Joe Paterno, according to this report that you don't respect because Louis Free is a cop and he's a dumb, stupid cop, even though you say you like cops.
You seem to find some. Is there a contradiction in that?
Yeah, there's contradiction in that. If you love cops, what does that mean?
It means I love cops. My father was a cop. I love my father, and I love cops, but he's a dumb spot. My father was a dumb cop. He said to me, when I'm in heaven, I'm going to be God's own cop. And he wasn't talking about being some good cop. He was talking about swinging a PR-24 on behalf of the Lord. That means that my father was basically saying that when he gets to heaven, he's going to wail on my mother like she's Rodney King laying on her stomach, reaching for her waistband, and my father going, yeah, yeah. Because I remember that. My dad was telling me, you know, if your mother ever goes for a waistband, I swear to God, I'll go for elbows and kneecaps.
And what kind of a relationship do your parents have?
This is not about my parents, Mr. Andrew. This is about Joe Paterno, who basically, a great football coach, he got kicked right between his legs. That's like walking up to an 80-something-year-old man and just going back as if you're Gary Apremian, looking to put one through in that overtime game against the Kansas City Chiefs, and just swinging your legs soccer style, and the steel toe of that kicking shoe meets testicle. I'm sorry.
So let's analyze that.
Yeah, sure. Whatever you want to analyze it. What's that?
No, let's analyze that. Joe Paterno was Sunday punched. He was caught off guard. He didn't know that this cruel thing was going to be done to him.
Exactly. He did not know.
He didn't know that he would have to pay the piper for years and years and years of not dealing with a sexual predator assistant coach who eventually was going to have to be reported to the police if he'd had any kind of brains, let alone morality. And I'm not saying that he didn't have either. I'm saying that Joe Paterno was stupid.
You're calling, oh, bull baby, I just want to be clear. You're calling Joe Paterno stupid.
Yes, I'm saying that he was a stupid man for not dealing with this, because look what happened to him, man.
I don't know what to say to something like that. You have no respect.
I've got plenty of respect. But you know something? Like they said this week, this is, you know, as they were protecting a football program, they were letting children be victimized.
I agree. But why do you got to hang Paterno out to dry? He was a dumb old man. I'll say it, okay? He was a stupid old man.
So now we get it said.
Yes, we get it said. There's no other way for me to say it.
So the dumb cop thing wasn't working.
I'm going to tell you what I believe. He was a stupid old man. Are you going to hang a stupid, dumb, old, senile bastard out to dry? Joe Paterno, Mr. Henry, was a great football coach at one time, and he became a dumb old creep. And why can't we let him have the dignity of having his coaching victories, his coaching career? And when we get together and we talk about Joe Paterno, we can all agree he was a dumb old freak, some dumb old pervert.
And
Joe Paterno?
Yeah.
A pervert?
Well, whatever you want to say. I mean, I agree with you. And I love that man for what he did.
First, you love your old man for being a cop.
I did love my father for being a cop. I did love my father for being a cop.
And you love Joe Paterno, even though he was a dumb old man.
Yes. A dumb, stupid old man. An old man that probably should have been put out of his misery if euthanasia was required. And I'm being honest with you now, all right? If euthanasia was legal, Paterno should have been the first one in line. I'm saying it. It's cruel, but I've got to say it. But it's no reason to drag his name through the mud.
Do you think that Joe Paterno was responsible for his actions?
Yes.
Do you think that Joe Paterno made a conscious decision to sweep this under the rug?
Yes, I do.
So why do you give him the benefit, if you will? Why do you give him the benefit of being a dumb old man?
Because he is. He was. He was a stupid old creep. A dirty, filthy old man. A dirty old man that probably should have been run down by a bus or euthanized or somehow be put out of his misery 10, 15 years before it happened. And I loved him. That's my opinion of him, and I loved him. And,
how do you square with the fact that you love him with that stuff?
What stuff?
The dirty old man.
Of course I loved him. Yeah, I look at the man and I say he's a filthy old bastard, a lying, dirty, scum-sucking dog, and I loved him. That's what love is. You take somebody for what they are, and you love them regardless. And he had good quality. He's a good football coach. But he was a dirty, scum-sucking dog. But I loved him. I don't understand what's hard to believe about that.
It's the most bizarre series of statements I've heard, even more bizarre than your father beating your mother with angel wings on.
Right?
All right, we'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show. I just didn't know what he said. But...
Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. And Vernon Dozier on the line is going to get some phone calls as well.
What you were just saying there, Mr. Hendry.
What's that?
Off the air. You were all getting mad talking about...
That's none of your business or anybody else's.
Well, you were saying it. Yeah, I could hear it.
You could hear it. I'm not going to talk about it. We're on the air with Vernon Dozier as we talk about Joe Paterno. And your opinion of Paterno, which you were reluctant to express, you think the guy was the lowest form of life, but you loved and respected him.
Yes, I did, Phil. And I think what happened to him, and I think what the NC2A did to him, in an effort to make themselves look good, in an effort to polish up and spit shine their own image, was to essentially take Joe Paterno out of his crypt. Out of the mausoleum that his family lovingly stood him up in or laid him. I don't know, Phil. I don't know, where Coach Paterno is. But I can be assured of this, that the family lovingly and respectfully laid him to rest. And the NC2A decided to get into their flashy Cadillacs and their big shiny cars, drive over to the crypt that the Paterno family crypt, which I don't know where it is.
What do you mean the Paterno family? What are you talking about?
Can I finish what I'm saying?
Well, what do you mean the crypt?
You don't know what a crypt is.
I know what a crypt is. I don't understand why you think Joe Paterno is buried in one.
Mr. Henry, was he an Italian? Yes. Are Italians, are they close-knit? Yes. Do they have big families? Yes. Do they eventually want to be buried together? Yes. How do you do that in a crypt? Yes. Okay? Okay?
Yeah.
Real easy. Wow.
I just didn't know that. Yeah, it makes me really stupid.
Well, in any event, where was I now?
The NC2A gets in their big car.
Yeah, the NC2A gets in their big cars.
And he drives over to the crypt.
Is that Dickman?
Yes.
All right, thank you, bud. They drive over to the crypt. They walk into the crypt marked Paterno. They took out a crowbar and whatever those guys, I saw a Wolfman movie once where they levered off the guy's you know, the hood on this guy's box, and he wound up turning back into a wolf and ripped the face off a guy. But that's, I'm not saying Paterno's going to do that. But they take out a...
You know, you're going through a big, long song and a dance here to say that they have basically disgraced the memory of Joe Paterno.
I don't think it's a song and a dance, Mr. Ed.
Yes, it is a song and a dance. They take out a crowbar, and they take it off. Well, I saw a Wolfman movie once where the guy ripped their face off, but that's not important. Why the big, long song and a dance?
Because I'm trying to paint the picture!
Wow.
Oh, yeah, wow. Wow.
Nobody wants to listen to me. They want to listen to you, Mr. Talk Show Host. They won't listen to me. Joe Paterno had his family crypt robbed. And I'll tell you something else, Mr. Andre, and you can laugh if you want. But I swear I would believe in God again. And I stopped believing in God a long time ago, my man. And I teach it, and I'm a football coach at a Catholic high school, and I stopped believing in God 30 years ago. You know what did it? My mother kissing me on the lips, dropping me off at school. That was the end of God for me. No God. Okay? But I'd start believing in God again if when the NC2A went into, yes, the Paterno family crypt, Joe Paterno, under a full moon, went into a full lycanthropic.
Oh, come on.
A full lycanthropic metamorphosis and tore eyeballs out of heads. Just went that, you know, what was the guy I seen on TV here the other day? What's the guy's name? That Miami Ghoul. Went Miami Zombie on him. Yeah? How do you like that? And when the cops finally do arrive, there's Paterno still gnawing on their faces. That's what I hope would happen. But we don't live in a just world. We live in a world where I get dropped off at school and the last thing I get from my mother is, mwah!
Look.
No, whoa. I've been listening to you insult me. I'm going to have my say. When I got dropped off at school and my mother went, one last thing, honey, a big, wet, with tongue, I stopped believing in God that day. I said, well, there's no God. Can't be a God. There's no way there's a God. And I got to taste that. No way. No way.
Your mother was a sick person.
Really? You think so? Well, guess what? It doesn't matter. Because I still got it. I still got lip locked. And I still got a tonsil inspection every single morning for 14 years. All right? Now, I'm not saying I didn't enjoy it. Because that's how sick I got.
Oh, and Paterno was a sick old man, huh?
I'm telling you, I love Joe Paterno.
All right, I got to take a phone call.
Whoa. One more thing, okay?
I got to take a phone call.
Go ahead, take your phone call. God, you just sounded like...
Well, what is your one more thing?
What is your one more thing?
Can I say it?
Yes, you can say it.
Okay.
You know what? If you don't want to grow up...
Mr. Henry, I'm sorry to have to do this, okay? But my mother kissed me on the lips! I'm simply saying to you, sir, that Paterno would have been within his rights, would have been within his constitutional rights, would have been within his Miranda rights to have leapt from that marble crypt and gone after the entire, every face in the NC2A, whatever the hell it's called. Went ahead and went from one face to the next, face, and then he's out into the night, hopping on all fours like some Alpo commercial. I don't know what the hell they do, these damn werewolves. He's out there hopping along on all fours like a damn Alpo commercial, going after every dog bowl on Bear Creek. And then he's back in his crypt by sundown, or whatever the hell. Do you know anything about that?
I'm not going to talk about werewolves with you anymore, okay? We're so far off the topic.
Do you know anything about them?
No, I don't know anything about them. They don't exist. I don't need to know anything about them.
What does that mean?
It means I don't know anything about where, and I don't need to because they don't exist.
You're sure of that?
Yes, I'm sure of that. 877. This is the most asinine conversation I've ever had in my life with anybody. Your desire to rehabilitate the legacy of Joe Paterno has taken a bizarre, dare I say, a delusional twist.
It is not delusional to want to see a great...
No, don't try to talk sense with me. Don't try to talk sense with me after what you just said.
Mr. Henry, it is not delusional to want to try to rehabilitate a great man.
What's to rehabilitate? I thought the guy was fine.
I said I loved him, even though he was a filthy degenerate.
Well, then are you saying, yes, he did let those kids down?
I'm saying the NC2A raped him. Raped, and they're lucky that they did it when there wasn't a full moon. That's all I'm trying to say.
All right, so you're saying basically he was a you wish he was a werewolf.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
877-876.
Yeah, see, I got you, and you're all... You know that I...
No. I know that I'm talking to a guy that's crackers. That's what I know.
Yeah, sure. Real easy for you to say.
Yes, you have made it easy. Thank you very much for making it easy.
What's that mean?
It means you talking about crypts and werewolves, and it's a good thing the NC2A raped him when there wasn't a full moon. You're nuts. 877-876-7445. RC at Bradley in Altadena, California. RC Collins, how are you, sir?
Yeah, Mr. Henry, I'm doing really good, and it's very entertaining to hear Coach Dozier try to rewrite history. And
I know who this kid is.
Yeah, yes, sir, you do know who I am, and if I could be allowed to make a couple of statements here before I come in for the coup de grace, you know.
Coup de grace, I'll come in. This kid has been tight.
Excuse me, sir, but I want to be the one that does the mouth movement and.
You mean talking?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Talk.
All right. I mean, I'm sorry. I
forgot the word, huh?
Yeah, you don't have to come on like Mr. Coach and everything.
I'm coming on like Mr. Coach because you didn't even remember. This kid couldn't remember the word talk. He's on the mouth movement.
Coach Dozier, I just wanted to tell everybody in Mr. Henry's radio audience tonight that we had a scrimmage. Bradley Military had a scrimmage against Belmar, and we won it. By a score of 14 to 21.
Yeah, that's right. You won it by a score of 14 to 21. That was a scrimmage. And we were running most of our sophomores. We didn't have any juniors or seniors in there. And
yeah, well, you can make all the excuses you want, but we did win it by seven.
Yeah, you did. You won it by seven. Can I just make a point here?
Yes, sir.
When you give a football score, you say the winning score first. You'd say we won by a score of 21 to 14. See?
Well, you know, sir, you've been giving people orders a long time. We won it.
All right. And now I'm going to tell the rest of the story here.
No, but but we did. And
okay, you won it. Was a scrimmage?
What?
What was this?
Yeah, Mr. Henry, it was a scrimmage that we had over at Field 3 against Belmar, and we beat them and everything.
They beat us, Mr. Henry, in a scrimmage, okay? Regular season game, what was the score of that game?
Who cares? We beat you the first time. It doesn't matter.
What was the score of the regular season game?
It doesn't matter.
42-0 Belmar Academy.
So? No one cares.
I think the Belmar fans cared. And by the way, we won our league last year.
Yeah, nobody cares. All they care about...
Everyone cares, okay?
No, they don't. They don't care. They don't care.
You got a guy here that needs a doctor, okay?
Did you touch me between the legs?
Did I do what?
What?
Nothing.
What did you just say?
I was trying to make it sound like you did something bad. I just hate the way you talk about...
I didn't hate the way you talk.
You know something? If you guys are a military academy, I can't believe it. There are more... How many girls do you have at your school?
Sir, we don't have any. It's a boys' military academy.
That's not what I am.
That's not how you understand it. See, you had a perfect chance to make us look bad, and you're all...
No, I didn't go... Bleh. I said that's not how it seems to me.
Yeah, you blew it. You blew it.
Okay, so you beat them during a preseason scrimmage. Belmar came back and beat you in the regular season, 42-0. That's the end of that. Let's take a break. Wow. That's an amazing, amazing exchange there. 877-876-PHIL. And we have with us Vernon Dozier, head football coach at Belmar Academy, as he talks to us about Joe Paterno and what this means, the NC2A, you know, sanctions, what it means to the Paterno legacy. Vernon thinks that Joe Paterno got a bad deal. 877-876-7445, The Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, and welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our News and Information Hour coming up next hour. We'll be going through with a fine-tooth comb, excuse me, a lot of what you hear us talking about right now on this here show. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Alf on the Phil Hendry Show. Alf, go ahead.
Hi, Phil. Listen, I wanted to talk to this guy and tell him that he must be out of his mind if he thinks that Joe Paterno is some kind of a football god. I am originally from New York City. Now, I live in Florida now, but even before this happened with Paterno and before all this went down with the Penn State football team, I can tell you right now that this is a football team that had no chance at all rehabilitating itself in the eyes of the people, because there were things that the Penn State football team wasn't doing very well. One of the things was that they kept Joe Paterno on there. It was,
what is your problem?
I don't have a problem. I don't have it. You're the one with a problem. I'm listening to you talk.
Hold on. You're talking until you run out of air.
Yes, sir. That's what I'm supposed to do. It's my doctor told me to do. If Mr. Henry would divide by that, it would allow me to keep talking until I run out of air, because it's something my diaphragm needs to be reflexive. It needs to be worked on that way, and that's what the doctor said. So I try to get rid of the air as fast as I can and say everything I need to say, but that's going to give you a chance to talk just as soon as I get rid of all the oxygen. I'm talking about Joe Paterno, and I'm going to... Oh, God, I...
What is this guy?
Sir, hey, Alf?
Yeah, Mr. Henry.
What is the problem?
I have a diaphragm problem, and in other words, what I'm supposed to do is talk until I run out of oxygen, and then we're only then are other people allowed to talk, and I'm trying to talk really fast so I don't take up too much time. And what I'm trying to say here is about Joe Paterno, but you're asking about the ailment that I've got. It's a diaphragm problem. It's not a perforated diaphragm. That's a different kind of problem, but it's a diaphragm problem. I'm supposed to talk until I run out of all the air, but I'm not running out of air fast enough, but I also can't breathe. It really is torture. I got to... Oh!
What do you... I got to tell you something, sir. I'm going to hang the phone up.
That's probably the best thing you could ever possibly say, is that you're going to hang the phone up. The things that you've been saying in this program tonight have been absolutely unspeakable, and they've been something that I would never even allow anybody to say. I wouldn't allow my own son to say it. I wouldn't allow the most filthy-minded bastard in the world to say it. I wouldn't allow anybody to say the things I've heard you say, and you've been saying them over and over and over again. I'm tired of writing this torture because I don't want to talk. I can't talk.
What kind of a problem is this?
Hey, Mr. Henry, I think I know what this is. And
hold on, don't start talking, because when you talk, you don't shut up.
I think this is a diaphragm problem. And what happens is, if you take a breath any time before you've run out of air, what you're doing is there's a clash of carbon dioxide and oxygen in the lungs, and it causes a very painful reaction. So when you start talking, you've got to talk until all the oxygen is out of your lungs. You can't talk before that.
What? What kind of a problem is that?
It's a diaphragm problem. It's a spastic diaphragm. It means the diaphragm can only work in one complete movement.
Are you there, sir?
I'm right here, but now so you maybe start talking, and so I got to start talking, and they're not going to be able to do it.
Yeah, you did it now.
That's the other thing that I did, and I told that my wife, and I said, I'm listening to this crazy program, I'm listening to this guy who's on here, and this guy won't shut up. He's talking about all this stuff, and I can't believe it anymore. Joe Paterno is one of the greatest guys. He's talking about werewolves, talking about all kinds of stupid stuff.
Why'd he scream?
Because it's very, very painful.
Get rid of this guy.
Well, I mean the guy.
Get rid of the guy.
Okay.
I can't listen to that. That's about the strangest guy. That's the strangest phone call I've ever heard in my life.
I'm familiar with it, Mr. Ender, only because I was married to... My first wife had that problem. And it is a hellish thing to be married to somebody with that problem. I can tell you that. And
your first wife?
Yes. Sally, the one that died?
Yeah. Did she die from that?
No. She had... poor girl had cancer. But no, she had this spastic diaphragm. So when she started talking, it'd just be... And she's the only woman on record. And I even checked with the doctor that treated her. And I said, could you check and find out if there's ever been a report of a woman who wants to be belted by her husband, who wanted it, who asked for it? And this doctor, who I fired because I didn't think it was very funny, he said, don't all of them? And he's like, ha, ha, ha. And I said, you know, you are some kind of piece of garbage. And I fired him. And
are you telling me the truth?
Yes, I'm telling you the truth.
I'd fire him, too.
I did. I fired the smart-ass son of a bitch. I said, let me tell you something. I got a wife laying in here who's about to die. Okay, you're doing a comedy sketch, what do you call it, stand-up sketch, or
how to do that. And he said, I didn't mean any offense. I said, well, guess what? You're fired. Now get out of here before I throw you through a window. And he's all, well, you can't talk to me like that. Well, guess what happened?
You threw him through the window. Why do I think you threw him through a window?
You're right. I threw him head first right through a brand new plate glass window. And you know what? I felt real good. I felt good as I called up that window company and said, I need a new window. No, but Sally had that. And it's painful because they got to keep talking. And she said to me, hit me, you know, belt me, do something, shut me up, please. And I said, honey, she said, I'm telling you right now, Vernon, hit me, sock me, belt me so I'm knocked out cold. Otherwise, I'm never going to shut up. I'm just da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Because her family, they were all swimmers, and she was a swimmer. She was a collegiate swimmer.
Yeah. Well, what does that got to do with anything?
She had great lungs. So she's like, bah, 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 bah. She could talk about 3-4 minutes straight without taking a breath. And she'd say all through it, would you please hit me? Please hit me? So finally, I hauled off one day, and I just it was a straight shot to the nose, okay? I didn't do it, you know, just a straight bang, jab. Just a straight hand, straight right hand. And it didn't do nothing. She just kept
You know, Vernon, I've had a lot of people on this show, and I've listened to a lot of stories.
What, do you think I'm telling a fairy tale here?
No, I'm not saying that at all. You have had one of the weirdest lives that I've ever heard of in my life. Your wife now is a girl that you married within 30 minutes of her graduation from high school. Isn't that right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And she'd been a student of yours.
That's exactly right. Yeah, absolutely. Tiffany was one of my students. And as she walked off the stage with her high school diploma, I took her by the arm. We got into my car. Within 20 minutes, her father and brother rolled by the Blue Moon Motel. They saw my car parked, and they knew they were too late.
At the Blue Moon Motel.
I don't know why you're laughing.
Because that's the stupidest sounding. I got to go, man.
Thank you. Yeah, you got to go. You just insulted my honeymoon, but you got to go.
Oh, shut up. We'll be right back with our news and information hour. Her brother and her father rolled by the Blue Moon Hotel, or motel.
Motel.
We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Can I say one more thing? Because I just found out that I've got a document, Bob, and I really need to say something right now. The thing that I want to say more than anything else is the fact that this guy that's talking to you there about Joe Paterno, I haven't loved Joe Paterno. It's the guy that I've always loved. I've always loved Joe Paterno. We thought that he was the kind of guy that I really wanted to know and really wanted to be a football coach. I wanted to play football, too, but I never got to watch my father. I couldn't go to the Joe Paterno.
Phil Hendry. Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Did the world famous Phil Hendry Show, and you get a backstage pass on a website, too.
That's right, bud. A backstage pass to philhendryshow.com allows you access to our daily video cast as well as all of the thousands of hours of archive material. And I've been in touch with a backstage pass member, Adam, who has in his possession, and we're going to name our collection, our archive, after him. He has in his possession the famous or infamous Milwaukee Lion broadcasts.
Yeah, I get a lot of people asking about those.
Right. And they're so foul that I can't even give you the name of the play-by-play man because his name wouldn't be allowed on the radio.
How'd he do it?
What's that?
How'd he do the game?
I don't know. He was just the network there for the Milwaukee Lion football team allowed him to be. He had a name that was, it was an obscene name.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the guy that did the play-by-play.
No, I know that, but what do you mean his name was obscene?
His name, his last name, was obscene. How else do I describe it?
Yeah, if you said it, it'd be dirty. It'd be like saying, I'm going to hair lip every...
All right, shut up, bud, okay? The point being, these were the Milwaukee Lions of the of that league, the American Football League. Not the a different American Football League, and it's a big, long story. Anyway... if we can get it together, and I'm sure we will be able to, we will add those to the archives. And if you haven't heard the Milwaukee Lion games, they are funky, man.
Yeah, man. That guy was out of his mind, man.
Well, they were just filthy, you know. I mean, I shouldn't say. The name of the play-by-play guy this guy would talk about having the runs, and it was nasty.
Yeah, well, you know, he was only saying he had a run on account of he was excited for the team.
Yeah, he was excited for the team. Do you got to tell everybody you got diarrhea? So in any event, we will have by the end of the summer, I'm hopeful, we're going to set this up. I got to get with Alex and make sure all this stuff gets on a server, make sure that we're able to put the stuff. These will be another addition to our archives, the Milwaukee Lion broadcast. So we're constantly adding. We have just added, I thought we were done. We've just now added the final month to our archives, which is December 2000. Which also brings me to another point. If you want to hear live free archives streaming, you can listen to philhenryradio.com. All you have to do is go to philhenryradio.com. If you guys don't have a backstage pass and you want to hear what the archives sound like, go to philhenryradio.com, and we have 24/7 free Phil Henry Radio archives streaming there. philhenryradio.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Free streaming archive, so you can check that out. And
yeah, make up your mind if you want to get a backstage pass.
Exactly. All right, 877-876 Phil. Now we were just talking here, and it's very interesting. So I want to finish the thought. We were talking during the break, me and Bud and Dan and Robert, about a series of shows. Now I'm not a Kennedy conspiracy guy. I followed the herd for a long time on the whole Kennedy thing. And I realize it's a long time ago. But there are people that are fascinated with the assassination of President Kennedy even to this day. And I kind of followed the herd on that. That what that means is I believe there was a conspiracy. And then I listened to, I interviewed Jim Garrison, who was the district attorney of New Orleans. He was one of the foremost proponents of the conspiracy theory. And then I read Case Closed, which was the book, one of the first books to come out and say, you know what, forget it, man. It's Oswald. That's the guy that did it. Quit with all the baloney. And now that's how I feel. But there's been all these shows on Military Channel.
Yeah, what they got on the Military Channel for?
I don't know. Military Channel got a hold of these Kennedy shows, and they've been showing them. And they all pretty much support that it was Oswald. And they all pretty much support now what has come to be the only thing that can't be really, nobody's been able to prove otherwise, that it was Oswald. He was acting alone. The guy's a flake. He's a loner. He's a weird ass. He was a rifleman of some ability. He was a former Marine. And, which probably is to the everlasting horror of the Marines. But nonetheless,
but like that earlier, that's the best thing in the world. You see that
from what?
A lot of Full Metal Jacket.
Oh yeah, well, it's that scene. He says, Lee Harvey Oswald shot the President of the United States from the fifth floor of the Texas School Book Depository.
Yo, one time, one brother said the Texas School Book Depository.
Yeah, I literally said that.
Okay, yeah. And he Oswald got off 3 shots, including a headshot. Where did he learn his shooting? In the Marines, sir. In the Marines. Outstanding. Anyway, there was one show that was very poignant, and I recommend it if you see it. It's called The Kennedy Detail. I got to tell you, man, it was really, really, it was sad. God, was it sad. They interviewed all the surviving Secret Service guys that were there that day.
You mean the guys that seen it?
Yeah, all the Secret Service guys that were there. All the guys, Clint Hill, who was the only Secret Service man that you actually remember, because he was the guy that ran and jumped onto the back of that limousine.
Yeah, she was trying to get away.
No, she wasn't trying to get away.
That's what everybody said.
What? Who says that?
They said that Jackie Onassis or whatever.
You think her last name might have been Kennedy at that time?
Well, yeah, Kennedy. Well, I mean, she was Jackie Onassis.
Yeah, yeah, afterwards. So who told you she was trying to get away?
That's what I heard.
She was going, this is a horrible story, she was trying to reach and get a piece of the president's skull.
Oh, man.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. She was in shock. She was in shock. She saw a piece of her husband's head fly onto the back trunk cover of the limousine, and she got up there and tried to get it. I mean, she was absolutely in horror. And it was Clint Hill, who was the Secret Service guy, that jumped onto the back of the limousine and pushed her back into the seat and jumped on both her and the president to cover him up.
Well, Clint Hill is interviewed. All of the guys, all of them, and there's not a one of them, not a one of them that doesn't at some point break down and start crying. It was the toughest day. You can imagine that these guys had just seen the one guy, the one job that they had, protect the president, he's dead. And they're still on duty now as they go through the funeral procession, as they have to bring his body back to Dallas, as they had a big hassle with the Dallas authorities because they didn't want to let the body go because it was in their it was their authority to conduct the autopsy, and the White House said, "No way in hell are you going to we're going to do it. We're taking the president back." And there was a little bit of a tense moment there until they had to strike some kind of an agreement, and they finally got the body back to Washington. And every one of these poor guys, all he can think of is this morning this guy was alive, you know, and I'm a Secret Service guy. And what am I, you know, I want to be anywhere other than here right now.
Yeah, man, that must have been, that's tough.
Tough. So, Clint Hill, this poor guy, the one Secret Service man I suppose you could point to and say, well, there's the, and they all said it. I think one of the guys said, I saw Clint running for the, one of the Secret Service guys said, I saw him running for the back of the car, and I kept saying, go, Clint, go, don't, make, please. He says, because I knew we'd run him over if he didn't. If he wasn't able to jump onto the back of that car, we were going to run him over because the motorcade had already started speeding up. They were already on their way to the hospital.
What do you mean run him over?
Because he was in front of everybody. It was a lead car. And if he hadn't, he literally almost didn't make it. The guy driving the president's limousine started to speed up heading for the hospital. And Hill is like running as fast as he can. He finally grabbed a hold of this railing they had. And he pulled himself onto the back bumper of the limousine and pushed Jackie Kennedy in the back seat. And he developed a drinking problem. In 1975, he was told by the Secret Service, we can't use you anymore, man. You know, you're not in good health. He realized he had to pull it together. He said, I got a wife, I got kids. What the hell's wrong with me? What am I doing? It's over 10 years. He was, he cut off all contact with all the other guys. These guys were friends of his. He didn't want to talk to another Secret Service agent. He didn't want to see one. He didn't want to know they existed. He wanted nothing more to do with them. And it was just, and each one of their stories, it was similar. They all kind of, and the guy said something that I'll never forget. One of them said, you know, maybe, and he was just saying, he said, maybe if it was today, we would have had, maybe there would have been a psychiatrist or a psychologist or somebody we could have talked to. But we didn't have anybody. We didn't have anybody. And these guys were not crying. They weren't feeling sorry for themselves. They were just, this one guy was just sort of thinking, geez, if they had one of those counselor deals, we could have gone and talked to him, but we didn't have anybody. We had to, he said, I had to be back on the job. He said, I just saw the president get killed, and I still had to go back to Washington, and I still had to be back on the job. We didn't get any sleep. They wanted me back up there at 6 a.m. because we had to plan for this, that, and something else. It's really powerful television, man. It's reality. These guys are still alive. These guys remember the day. And there's not one of them that didn't break down at some point and cry. Just that's how tough it was. So I would recommend you see that.
Why? If you want to cry?
If you want to see some good, if you want to see reality TV. You know, you're always watching the Kardashians.
Yeah, but that's reality.
Oh, is that reality, bud? Really? I didn't know that was reality. So these guys were crying. Why?
No, that's reality, too.
The Kardashians is reality, like me standing in front of a camera and going, bloo, 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 that's reality, okay?
Well, that would be reality.
Yeah, it's reality, but it isn't really, I'm play acting. The Kardashians is play acting, man. This is reality, okay? Every single thing on that screen was reality, from those Secret Service guys crying, all the footage is drawn from that day. It's pretty.
What's it called again?
It's called The Kennedy Detail. I highly recommend it. It ain't nothing about conspiracy, all that bull crap. It's just about the guys that were the Secret Service guys that day and the day they had, man, the weekend they had. And it was just a weekend from hell that affected them for the rest of their lives. And it's only now and within the last few years that some of them are finally getting it together and understanding, you know, what happened. We'll be right back here. It's the world famous Phil Henry Show. It is our news and information hour.
Truth is our Phil bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, it's actually a comedy show, folks.
Yeah, we want you to know that.
Okay, they know it.
famous Phil Henry Show.
Talk about liberals. What do you mean liberal, man? You know, you really pissed me off. What are you talking about liberal?
Yeah, do a lot of liberal stuff. People aren't going to like it.
Well, what? You know, I spend a lot of hours every day making people laugh. Can't I have a couple of opinions?
Nobody want to know about your opinion. All they want to do is you say something funny.
Yeah. Is that right? Well, I'm going to give my opinion anyway.
Okay. You'll be sorry.
What does that mean, you'll be sorry? And I don't like the way you guys are talking.
I ain't saying anything. People going to get all mad.
Well, let them get mad, okay? Oh, they're not supposed to get... Oh, wait a minute. I forgot. This is talk radio. Everything is just chill, man. Everything is just really groovy. Everything is... Nobody gets upset in talk radio. You're right. What was I thinking? It's a freaking talk radio. Don't you think people... It's controversial?
Yeah, but you're... You do funny stuff.
Oh, I do fun... Let me tell you something, man. These brain surgeons that run the radio business... These stupid clowns that run our radio, but all they want to hear is controversial radio, but they don't want to lose any advertisers, you understand? So now, look at this. They got Mike Huckabee, who I like. He's a nice guy. But Mike Huckabee is an imbecile. I'm sorry, Governor. When you weigh in on social issues, you are so stupid, man, it makes me want to cry, because I actually like the guy personally. He's got great taste in music. He's a Stanley Clark fan. He's a,
Who?
Stanley Clark.
You said Stanley Clark.
Oh, well, Bud, I'm so sorry. You know, you talk so good, man, that I want to study your speech patterns.
Well, you know, whatever I can do.
You think I'm serious?
I talk gooder than you did right there.
Yeah, you talk gooder than me.
Well, you can't make fun of him, man. You went Stanley Clark.
All right, I said Stanley Clark. The point is that Governor Huckabee is a Stanley Clark fan, and he's a, he's got good taste... But when he opens his yap on, excuse me, man, but Chick-fil-A, I'm going to wipe my rear end with Chick-fil-A. What do you think of that? What the hell's happened to this country, man, where you're supposed to watch what you say about Chick-fil-A? I remember Chick-fil-A in Atlanta. I wouldn't eat that with your mouth, bud.
What is it?
Chicken sandwiches.
So what?
So I guess they think it's a big deal in the South. But apparently the guy that runs Chick-fil-A, he's a Christian. Nothing wrong with being a Christian. It's fine. But when the cat comes out against gay people, gay marriage, and once again we have to marginalize an entire... And I don't care what some of the far-right rednecks think, because those people aren't my people anyway. I don't give a damn if they listen to me or not. I don't care if they hate me. It doesn't make any difference to me. I gotta, as long as a guy like Huckabee gets to open his big, dumb, stupid Yahoo mouth and go blah, 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 blah about that stuff, Phil Henry gets to say what he wants to say.
Yeah, he was a governor.
I don't give a damn if the guy was the president of General Motors. I don't care if he was premier of Russia.
What about the czar?
If he was the czar, maybe not. Look, guys, you're the ones that started this, okay?
What?
Yeah, you can go ahead and go, eh? You're the guys that started. The point that I'm making here, just because he's the governor of a state, he's not even the governor of a state anymore. The guy's on TV. The cat is talking out of his ass. Chick-fil-A calls themselves a Christian organization. Fine. That's great. They say that they're family values. Fine. That's great. They say that they believe in this, that, and something. That's fine. But when you begin to get into that no gay this, no gay that, when you start to marginalize because you're just too stupid, I mean, that's what it is. You're just too stupid to understand what biology, what nature, what gender sexual orientation is, what being a human being walking the face of the planet. These are people that will say, I just don't believe. And you can bring up everything to them. You can say that we've got men that gave their lives for this country. That there's probably names on the Vietnam. I talked to a guy one day. This is how freaking dumb these people are. I talked to a guy one day and I said, well, do you want to go to the Vietnam Memorial? And if you could identify all the gay names, do you want to scratch them off of that? And this is what this brain surgeon said. I don't think there's any gay names on there. And yes, he did have a Southern accent.
Well, you shouldn't say that. You say the Southern people are patriotic.
Yes, they are patriotic. Southern people are very patriotic. But this guy had a Southern accent. And he said the words, I don't think there's any gay people on that. You don't, huh? God, I'd love to bet that guy everything he's got, which probably wouldn't pay for a month's rent for me, but nonetheless, I'd love to bet him. Because if there was a way that we could actually, identify all the gay names in the Vietnam Memorial, that cat would be, well, he'd be broke for four lifetimes.
That's just paying your rent.
Yep, that's it. See, that's the stupidity you're up against. There's not one brain cell, not anybody with any brains is going to argue with you intelligently about gay people in this country and say anything other than something dumb. If they don't, you know, you can say you don't want gay people getting married. You can, you know, I've listened to every freaking argument that there is. I've listened to these guys say the following. Marriage belongs to all right, fine. Marriage belongs to, you, whatever, man. Marriage belongs to straight people, right? Yes. Okay. So how about we don't call it marriage? We call it civil union, but they have all the same rights that married people have. Well, wait a minute, man. They're not calling it marriage anymore. See, that's when these freaking bigots, they got nowhere to run. And these people have the audacity and the temerity to call anybody that wants to support the rights of gay people, they're bigots because they don't adhere heel to the wishes of the straight people. You're a bigot. Now, have you ever heard a bigger perversion of the word bigot? Now, I'm telling you right now, folks, I know that talk radio is the domain of conservative people because that's what the executives and programmers of this industry have done. They've butchered the radio business alive, and in the process, they've taken talk radio and turned it into a soapbox for conservatives. In other words, it's basically just a lot of stupid people talking, okay? So if you think I'm winning friends and neighbors by talking this way, I know that I'm probably not, but I'm speaking from my heart. I'm a guy that voted for George Bush. I'm a guy that supported the war on terror, all of that stuff. And if any redneck, dumbass, hillbilly doesn't like what I'm saying, you know what you can kiss. You think I care? I'm getting sick and tired. And the reason why I'm so pissed off is this. Look at, do whatever you want to do, Cumulus. This is a major broadcasting company that hired this dumbass bigot. He's not a broadcaster. He's not a radio host. He's never been on a radio in his life. He doesn't have anywhere near the experience 99.9% of the people in the talk business that I know have. He's been on TV. That's it. But the dumbasses over at Cumulus decided that they want to steal their money again. So they're putting this dumbass on the air. This bigot. Anti-gay bigot.
There you go, man. You ain't never going to be on a Cumulus station again.
You think I was going to be on a Cumulus station anyway? Come on, man.
Yeah, but you just sunk it, man.
Sunk what? My future with Cumulus? Come on, man.
Maybe they were working a deal.
No. Nobody at the syndication company that I'm with right now is working any deal for Phil Hendry at Cumulus. I can guarantee you that. No. Mike Huckabee is theirs. They hired an anti-gay bigot to do their radio show. Good luck to you there, Cumulus. Nice radio brand. Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, you're done, man.
Great, I'm done. Whatever.
Woo! Woohoo!
Phil Hendry.
The thing that bothers me, you know.
Yeah, you know, I'll stop doing comedy.
I'll do comedy, all right? Pardon me. But the thing that bugs me is the following thing. What exactly is Huckabee and Chick-fil-A? What are you saying now? You're saying you're opposed to gay marriage. All right, I understand that. All right, so in other words, as a company, Chick-fil-A, you don't believe gay people should be married. You don't think it's not just a matter of legality. You think it's a matter of morality. So that tells me what? It tells me that you're too freaking stupid to understand what you're talking about. I'm sorry, but you are. There's been enough information. There has been enough reporting. You know, it isn't like yesterday. All of a sudden the news came out. Hey, guess what? We got a bunch of gay people. What are we going to do with them for over God knows what? 60 years. All right, fine. So now we have this. We got Chick-fil-A saying this. So a guy says what? He says, well, here's what I think. I don't want to eat at Chick-fil-A. Well, really? Why not? Because they're opposed. They're vocally opposed not only to gay marriage, but they've come out and they've been vocally opposed to gay people. They've somehow turned it into a Christian thing, okay? So I'm not. Now, guess what Huckabee does? Huckabee, as any great propagandist, and again, it's hard for me to say this because one-on-one, Mike Huckabee's a nice guy. For him to utter these things, either he's the dumbest guy in the history of the human race, or he's a freaking full-fledged bigot. Because when a guy says, I'm going to boycott you, really, why? Because you're opposed to gay marriage. You're a bigot. What? What are you talking about? You're bigoted against me saying that that guy shouldn't have the same rights as me. And if you agreed with me, you wouldn't be a bigot. Oh, I got you. All right, I understand. So I'm bigoted against your being against the guy. Okay, yeah. Yeah, see? Uh-huh. Great. Glad you understand. Huckabee, he's selling this now. This is the great canard. This is the great line of bullcrap that they've been trying to pitch. And they're selling it to some people that really, you know, take their brains out and play with them if they didn't know that they were actually in between their ears in the first place. They're pitching that one and selling that one. You're a bigot if you're opposed to me wanting a guy not to have the same rights as me. See? You understand now, right? And not only that, you're an anti-Christian bigot. Why? You're just like the Romans, as a matter of fact. Why, you're throwing me to the lines. I mean, I'm telling you, you can, when you watch the bullcrap just roll out, it's an amazing display, not because of what they're saying, because what they're saying is so incomprehensibly laughable. It's that some people are buying it. Now, the National Organization of Marriage, every time they have a rally, it's an embarrassment to them because five people show up. They look like the biggest jackasses in the history of the human race. Well, are you being a bigot against them, Phil? No, I'm telling you, no one supports them. That's what I'm saying. No one supports them.
Well, why'd you call them stupid?
Well, because their opinions are not based in anything other than, well, excuse me for saying the word, bigotry. But Huckabee, he gets on here, and he's yakking and blabbing and doing all this stuff and supporting Chick-fil-A, and he's got a radio show. And he's got a radio show that was put on the air by a major American group called Cumulus. And those guys at Cumulus know that they have a bigot on the air, but it's okay in talk radio. It's all right. As a matter of fact, next month, maybe they'll have somebody from the Klan on. I swear to God, you guys are not really mining the potential here. You should not only have Huckabee doing the late morning show, you could have an afternoon drive who is a cat that is just dyed-in-the-wool Klan. Why not?
Oh, well, that's ridiculous.
What the hell's ridiculous about it, man? You got an anti-gay bigot here. Well, then we'd have a whole lot of people. Oh, yeah. So, in other words, the gays, they're easy to beat up on, man. Who cares about a bunch of gay people? Because, after all, you know, it's just a handful of them. But the black people, what's the matter, man? You afraid they're going to, like, gang up on you or something?
Yeah, they probably think they're going to get Suge tonight.
Yeah, what's the matter? You think that Suge is going to get the crew and go medieval on your ass or something?
Yeah, they probably don't think that about black people.
That's Cumulus, man. They're afraid a bunch of black people are going to go ape. So you wouldn't want to do anything like that, but the gays, what the hell? You know, what are they going to do, man? Come parading down the street with their parasols. So, you know, it's amazing what people get away with in this society. It's a crazy. And I know that people say, oh, Phil Henry, he's a crank. He's just an angry old guy. You know, yeah, sure, that's easy. You know, I may be old, but the plain facts are I'm still one of the best things there is on the radio.
That's the truth.
You got that right. And you guys at Cumulus or wherever else, you guys are just too freaking stupid. I mean, you ain't any good at your job, man. What do? You hire some bigot. Some guy who, by the way, is about my age. I ain't old. I'm 59. What the hell, man? Paul Harvey got a 10-year deal out of ABC. Now, that was a good deal. When you signed Paul Harvey to a 10-year deal, he was 80.
You kidding me?
No. Paul Harvey got a 10-year deal out of... Now, I realize he died. God rest his soul. But for a guy at 80 to get a 10-year deal out of ABC at $20 million a year? Yes!
That's the last good hire they made, man.
I think so. I could forgive Paul Harvey a lot of things. I think he was kind of a right-winger, but he was a great broadcaster. And so, and I love to hear great broadcasters. Mike Huckabee... He ain't no great broadcaster, man. Not by a country mile. That guy, he just ain't any good. He sucks. Governor, with all due, you suck. And that's those stupid clowns at Cumulus, they're going to find out. And, you know, you should be happy that I'm saying these things because you guys, you can't keep making these mistakes and you're all rubbing each other's rear end saying, yeah, 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 you know, smiling at each other and telling everybody that it's going to be okay. And nobody's telling you the truth. You jackasses, you don't want to invest in radio brands. You want to hire an anti-gay bigot like Huckabee, who's not even a really good broadcaster. He just flat sucks up one side and down the next. Maybe he's good on TV. And this guy, listen to this. This dumbass that runs Cumulus said that he really thought that he had a chance to knock Rush off his perch with this guy.
Yeah, but what about Rush, man? He's got the same opinion.
Even if Rush had the same opinions of this guy, Rush Limbaugh is a broadcaster. He's an entertainer. He's a pro. P-R-O. Mike Huckabee is a hack.
How do you spell that?
H-I-C-K.
Ha, ha, ha.
Right. All right, in other news, in other bigotry news...
Yeah, let's move on, man.
All right, look, don't be bugging me, okay?
Yeah, you gotta quit talking about it.
Hey, I'll talk about what I want to talk about. Okay. Let's see, Mariah Carey, what the hell happened with her, man? It's clear that the powerhouse singer doesn't need a microphone in front of her to entertain us because her quirky personality does the job already. And now with the news of Carey become a judge on American Idol, we can only hope that she'll give us more memories to giggle about. Here's some oldies but goodies. Mariah Carey has got a history. She's the new judge on American Idol, and she's had a history of kind of going a little wiggy. One of the singer's ventures, aside from music, was convincing people at home to buy different items on QVC. What we adored about her attempt to do this, and when you say we, who are we reading here?
I think it's TMZ.
Bruna Nesif. What we adored about her attempt to do this, though, was not so much her sweet charm, but her nonchalant approach to the whole thing. For example, she was pregnant and her feet hurt. Solution, kick back, relax on the couch, ice cream. Anyway, she's a whack job, and she is the new. And I think she's a great singer. I like Mariah Carey.
Do?
I do. I think she's a hell of a singer. The rest of what goes on, I could give a damn, man, as long as she isn't breaking any laws. She's probably a weird ass. But the last time I heard her sing, man, she's got one hell of a voice. You know?
Yeah, she's pretty sweet, too.
Yeah, you know, she's married, so you can't, whatever, you know. Poll finds gun owners, even NRA members, back some restrictions. And I saw this on Tweetster today. Some very, you know, fine people were, you know, a lot of them are anti-gun cats. And they're all like, did you see this poll? Why, it says that even the NRA... Yeah, yes, I understand, you know.
No, they said they think that's anti-gun.
No, it ain't. There's a lot of cats that are anti-gun. They've been all over Twitter, man, and they've been talking all this crap about how, oh, my God, the guns. You know, I get it, man, about, you know, it's just not, that's not the solution. This is a freaking brain problem. It's not a gun problem. But anyway, they all were flipping their lids today because here comes this poll saying that even NRA members back some restrictions. Well, yes, I've never known anybody in my life, NRA member or not, who wasn't into some restriction regarding the ownership of guns. Age, mental competence, legal stat, you know, arrest record, things like everybody, even the NRA. This is not an inconsistent stand. Most gun owners, even current and former members of the NRA, support some firearms ownership restrictions, including criminal background checks. That's nothing new, according to a poll. This is a poll commissioned by an anti-gun lobbying group. And they think they're giving us a flash. The survey conducted by Republican Frank Luntz for a group, Mayors Against Illegal Guns, was carried out in May but was released on Tuesday in the aftermath of the Colorado movie theater shooting that killed 12 people. The shootings in the Denver suburb of Aurora early on Friday have renewed the debate over gun control in a nation whose constitution guaranteed blah, 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 blah. Authorities have said the man arrested the shooting, was armed with an AR-15 assault rifle, a 12-gauge shotgun, and a Glock 40, all of the guns purchased legally. And Mayor Bloomberg, nobody understands what he's doing, man. You got a gun law in New York, Mayor. He said the incident should wake up the country for the need for tough, you got tough restrictions in New York, man. They had a murders over the 4th of July weekend in New York, 18 homicides. What the hell are you talking about? Chicago. What are you talking about? Washington had an anti-gun. Are you people stupid? I mean, what? So here I am. Are you listening to this? Phil Henry, pro-gun, pro-gay. So don't let it blow your mind. You can still, if you're anti-gay, you can still think that I'm a lousy liberal idiot, even though I'm sitting here talking about gun ownership rights and calling these people just about as dumb as Mike Huckabee is. Lunch said he polled 945 gun owners nationwide, half of whom were gun owners who were current or former members of the NRA, a gun rights group that takes a hard line. The survey had a margin error of 3 points, and they said, yeah, we want restrictions when it comes to mental illness. We want restrictions. We want background checks. In other words, they said what a lot of them have been saying all along. You got to be kidding me. Now, I saw this because there's people that I, you know on Twitter and follow and all that crap, and we talk, and it was a very interesting weekend because you really had to watch your step. But I'm gonna give credit to one guy, and I want you to remember this name. You know Jason Alexander from the Seinfeld show, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Jason wrote an essay and published it online, and it was anti-gun. But, I shouldn't say anti-gun. It was gun control advocacy. But in a move that I thought was showed what a mensch of a guy he was, he said, now here is a man that responded to me, and he makes some very good arguments, and I want you to see his essay too. And this guy took Jason Alexander's essay apart, brick by brick, nail by nail, board by board. He took it apart. He talked about the AR-15 is a semi-automatic, is not a fully automatic weapon. He talked about the magazine. He talked about the ability to use it as a weapon as opposed to use it as a hunting weapon as opposed to a weapon for self-defense. He went into the history. It was a very well done piece, and to the credit of Jason Alexander, who is in favor of gun control, he said, please look at this because this is a good counter. I thought it was very open-minded of him.
Man, I've never heard anybody doing that.
Yeah, most of the TV movie actors want to be all this.
Well, yeah, that's a good point. They want to have their ego bolstered. But so I thought it was extremely honest and open to him. And it's too bad you did that, Jason, because I've kept his and I threw yours away. I'm joking.
Did you really?
No. I actually gave them both. I said, both of you guys are my heroes, you know. It was a great, it was truth-seeking, man. I mean, if you really want to know the truth and you're not just full of crap, when you meet somebody who has a good argument counter to yours, you say, in all honesty, I have to point out this person's argument because I would not be a believer in the truth if I hid this from you.
Yeah, but nobody's going to want to do that.
Well, good point. We don't live in a time where people are interested in truth. We live in a time where people want to be right. They don't give a crap whether it's truth or not. They don't care if they burn people down. They don't care if they lose the country. They don't care. Seriously, these people will go to their death trying to be right. All right, so there it is. Check it out. Frank Luntz.
That fat guy was on Fox.
What?
You're the fat guy on Fox.
Why don't you get over here? What are you doing?
Gotta get a coke.
Well, then don't be yelling at me from across the room. What did you say?
I just said he's fat.
Is he the fat guy on Fox?
Yeah. What is he?
Hey, I'm not answering to you. Sit down over here, okay?
I'm going to get myself a Red Bull Zero.
Yeah, you want one?
No, I don't want a Red Bull Zero. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Is
Truth
that the fat guy
is our
on Fox?
Bitch. The Phil Henry Show. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and online at philhenryshow.com. All right, softer sales of iPhones hurt Apple. I'm glad this is a great story here, man, because this is one of my, what do you call it, a pet peeve or something like that, you know?
What?
What do you call, you know, when you got a problem and you've always got the same problem?
Yeah, it's like a pet peeve.
Yeah, this is a pet peeve, okay? You guys at Apple, you know, you really take the apple pie, man. You cats with this Apple, this phone. I got an iPhone. I love the iPhone. But every freaking year, I can't go anywhere without people sitting there going, oh, well, have you got the 5? Have you got the 10? Well, you're good. But wait till the 10 comes out and the 5 and the 6 and the 8, you know?
Yeah, they can't say about the 5.
The 5, man? I got a 4G.
What the hell five? What's the five? I heard about the five last year. I had a three at the time. And the four was coming out. And a guy says to me, oh, no, no, don't get the four. Wait for the five. It's the five out? I don't know. Maybe it is. But here's the problem for Apple. And I'm glad that this is happening to them because there's nothing wrong with making a dollar. But here again, and people don't understand this, you know. They don't get this. It's possible to make, and people think that this is an impossibility, but it's not, and I'm going to keep saying, it's possible to make a lot of money and sell garbage. Yeah, you see? You can sell garbage in America and make a lot of money. You can make a lot of money and not sell anything in America. In America today, you don't have to make anything. You can sit on your ass with your thumb parked up it, on a phone all day long, gas bagging, and you could be a millionaire, and you haven't done a damn thing other than banging on somebody's ear all day long. In fact, that's how most money in America is made now. That's how most money is made. Just sitting and talking, spewing a lot of horse dung, like me. Only I don't make any money.
Well, you make money with a website.
The website, that's a different thing. The website, that's my, you know, yeah, we make money with a website. We prove every day with our website that people are willing to spend money online if you give them a quality, entertaining product. We've even got people buying our subscriptions who hate my guts.
Yeah, like who?
There was somebody today. You wouldn't have believed today. Somebody in the comment section of my website bitching about this and bitching about that. And I mean, I never heard of this person before. This is the very first time they were on the comment section. And they went, welcome to the da-da-da-da-da-da. And there was another problem they had. And they were coming on so rude that I said to them, gee, I'm so very deeply sorry that you're unhappy. So I tell you what, why don't you take your subscription and your subscription money and why don't you stick it right back up where you found it? Thank you so very deeply, The Phil Henry Show.
What'd they do?
They're still a subscriber. They're still a subscriber. You know why? Because they know that we deliver thousands, millions, gazillion hours of stuff for $10 a month. Now, I'm not doing that. What I'm trying to tell you is, you know, we got a quality product. There's people in this country that are making all kinds of money, and the quality product, so they think, is being made someplace else. Now, here comes Apple. All right. Apple's selling an iPhone. Not a problem. Apple, though, has got an iPhone that they replace so often, or upgraded, I should say, so often. And when I say upgrade, a very big question is whether they got to upgrade it at all. I mean, do you really need to come out with a new phone every year with some horse dung addition that you just really... And what's happened is this. People have stopped buying the iPhone because they're waiting for the next version to come out. So Apple outsmarted themselves. With all of these new versions of phones, suddenly the sales are soft for iPhone because nobody wants to buy one.
Why?
Because they're waiting for the next one to come out.
Yeah, they're waiting for the next one to come out, so no one will buy this one.
What kind of phone have you got, bud?
I got a Droid.
Oh, you got a Droid? You got an iPhone?
Yeah, I got a phone like you.
Okay. Robert and I both have 4Gs. Okay? If we're like the typical Apple customer, we wouldn't have bought this. We'd still be holding on to our 3s, waiting for the 5 to come out. Okay?
Yeah, well, but the 5 never did come out, did it?
I don't think so. I don't know if there's a 5. I don't know what the hell's out there. All I know is I got a 4 and I like it. But, so I haven't gone out and I haven't purchased a new phone. And somebody may say, well, the 5's coming out and it's really great. You think I'm going to go buy a new phone? I just bought this one, man. No freaking way. All right. We'll see you tonight, guys. The world-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft. And Phil Henry. We're online at philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass and get yourself thousands and thousands and gazillions of hours of groovy stuff, man, at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. And we'll see you cats tonight. And don't forget our podcast. Hit that podcast link at philhenryshow.com and listen to our podcast. Episode 22 is due out on Thursday. So check it out. Until tonight. 10 Pacific, 1 Eastern. Let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Henry.